Blessing.
Blessing.
Our help is in the name of the Lord, who has made heaven and earth, who keepeth truth forever, and who never forsaketh the works of his own hands. Amen. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, in communion with the Holy Ghost. Amen. Congregation, let us sing from Psalter 209, stanzas 1, 2, 6, and 7. To God for help will I repair, to God will I direct my prayer, and surely he will answer me. In great his great salvation I shall see. 1, 2, 6, and 7 of Psalter 209. Scripture reading for this morning hour can be found in the Gospel according to John, the 13th chapter, beginning with verse 12 to the end. John 13, verses 12 to the end. But first, we will read the holy law of God according to Exodus 20. And God spake all these words, saying, I am the Lord thy God, which have brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. And thou shalt have no other gods before me. And thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. And thou shalt not bow down thyself to them, nor serve them. For I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children, unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate me, and is showing mercy unto thousands of them that love me and keep my commandments. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless that taketh his name in vain. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days shalt thou labor and do all thy work. But the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. In it thou shalt not do any work, thou, nor thy son, nor thy daughter, thy manservant, nor thy maidservant, nor thy cattle, nor thy stranger that is within thy gates. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea and all that in them is, and rested the seventh day. Wherefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. Honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. And thou shalt not kill, and thou shalt not commit adultery, and thou shalt not steal, and thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor, and thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's house, and thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's wife, nor his manservant, nor his maidservant, nor his ox, nor his ass, nor anything that is thy neighbor's. John 13, beginning with verse 12. So after he had washed their feet, and had taken his garments, and was set down again, he said unto them, Know ye what I have done to you? Ye call me Master and Lord, and ye say, Well, for so I am. If I then, your Lord and Master, have washed your feet, ye also ought to wash one another's feet. For I have given you an example, that ye should do as I have done to you. Verily, verily, I say unto you, the servant is not greater than his Lord, neither is he that is sent greater than he that sent him. If ye know these things, happy are ye if ye do them. I speak not of you all. I know whom I have chosen, but that the Scripture may be fulfilled, he that eateth bread with me hath lifted up his heel against me. Now I tell you, before it come, in that when it is come to pass, ye may believe that I am he. Verily, verily I say unto you, he that receiveth whomsoever I send, receiveth me. And he that receiveth me, receiveth him that sent me. And when Jesus had thus said, he was troubled in spirit, and testified and said, verily, verily I say unto you, that one of you shall betray me. Then the disciples looked one on another, doubting of whom he spake. Now there was leaning on Jesus' bosom one of his disciples, whom Jesus loved. Simon Peter therefore beckoned to him, and that he should ask who it should be of whom he spake. He then, lying on Jesus' breast, said unto him, Lord, who is it? Jesus answered, it is he to whom I shall give a sop when I have dipped it. And when he had dipped the sop, he gave it to Judas Iscariot, the son of Simon. And after the sop, Satan entered into him. Then said Jesus unto him, that thou doest, do quickly. Now, no man at the table knew for what intent he spake this unto him. For some of them thought because Judas had the bag that Jesus had said unto him, buy those things that we have need of against the feast, or that he should give something to the poor. He then, having received the sop, went immediately out, and it was night. Therefore, when he was gone out, Jesus said, now is the Son of Man glorified, and God is glorified in him. If God be glorified in him, God shall also glorify him in himself, and shall straightway glorify him. Little children, yet a little while I am with you. Ye shall seek me, and as I said unto the Jews, whither I go, ye cannot come. So now I say to you, a new commandment I give unto you, and that ye love one another, as I have loved you, that ye also love one another. By this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, if ye have love one to another. Simon Peter said unto him, Lord, whither goest thou? Jesus answered him, whither I go, and thou canst not follow me now, but thou shalt follow me afterwards. Peter said unto him, Lord, why cannot I follow thee now? I will lay down my life for thy sake. Jesus answered him, wilt thou lay down thy life for my sake? Verily, verily, I say unto thee, the cock shall not crow till thou hast denied me thrice. So far, the reading of God's holy word. We hope to remember in prayer this morning Debbie Van Driesten, who was brought to the Foothills Hospital this past week. Also, Dustin Grisnick has been brought to the hospital in Lethbridge. And Chad Outshorn needs to be in the hospital this coming Thursday. And let us try to pray and ask for the blessing and help of the Lord. Lord of heaven and of earth, it behooves us to humble ourselves before thy great and holy countenance, because we are thy creatures, and thou art our creator. But we have fallen away so deeply in our father Adam that we have no more ability on our side to humble ourselves. For our father did lift himself up to be as God, and then we are born from him, so that there is nothing from the crown of our head to the sole of our foot that may rightly bow and in submission to thy holy will and all thy statutes and thy commandments. Then it is within us continually a rebellion against thee. And Lord, we have no power to change our own selves. For we lie dead in sin and in trespasses in thy sight. And when it comes not from thy side, then it shall end for us in that third death, in that eternal death, to be separated forever and forever from thy holy communion, presence, and blessing. We may gather in this morning, but we cannot gather rightly. And thus we may try to lay before thee our greatest need, and that is our death state, that we need to be born again, as thou dost say. And Lord, what is now our only hope and our only expectation for that new birth? Oh, thou art mighty. Though we are weak, thou art holy, though we are sinful, and thou art able, though with men it is impossible. Oh, that thou may then come to us and our dear children this day. Oh, is it not a day, as we have read out of thy holy law, that thou didst sanctify? Is it not a day that thou didst set apart for thyself and thy service and thy worship? Oh, that thou may come then on this thy day, and wilt thou give that true worship to begin in the heart of this one or of that one? Oh, may it be of each and every one of us, that we may not in the end be a stranger of what it means to be brought in truth, to bow before the true and the living God. Wilt thou take away all that is sinful within our hearts and within our lives, and look upon us not within ourselves, but wilt thou look upon us through thy only begotten Son? With us there is guilt, but with him there is innocence. And with us the payment cannot be made, but that payment that was made from his side. Oh, that thou would take it then in the day in which we are living with our children, and wilt thou give the application unto each and every one of us, when we are together in thy house of prayer, that thy spirit may be sent from above, as we can read when thy servant Daniel began to pray to thee, that the word did go forth from heaven, and that the angel Gabriel was sent. O Lord of heaven and of earth, thy servant Solomon, he did stand before thee in thy temple, and he had nothing either from his own side to lay before thee,
But he did beseech thee that when prayer would be made to thee from that place, that thou would hear from heaven thy dwelling place. When thy people had sinned against thee, and when thou didst not send forth the rain, and that thou wouldst hear from heaven thy dwelling place, and when thou hearest, that thou would forgive. Oh, that thou may look then also upon us and upon our dear children, and that have also sinned against thee, and when the rain of thy Spirit that is so withheld from us, and so deservedly from our side, and then there is from us but one expectation, and that thou may come, and that thou may look upon us in the eternal Son of thy love, and that thou may put away all our iniquities, and that thou may come to give that new birth, to give the beginning of that eternal life, and that life that shall never die, but that shall serve thee in praises and in glory forever and forever. O Lord, look then upon us, and deal not with us as our many sins deserve. Wilt thou help all of thy own children? They are in a warfare, and thou knowest all the mystery. Thou knowest the paradox of their life. Thou knowest the darkness. Thou knowest the perplexities that live within them. Oh, that thou may deliver them, and that thou may give light and truth within their soul, that thou may show that it is thy own work, and that thou may give a little encouragement upon the way, to give them strength to continue upon that straight and that narrow way that leadeth unto life, that way that is not able to go around the mountains or the valleys, but that that must go over, that must go through them. Oh, that thou wouldst stand on their right and on their left hand to keep them from falling, and to keep them from discouragement and from despair, that thou may speak a word this day, that thou may grant that encouragement that is necessary, and that thou may lead them further upon the way of grace, free and sovereign grace to the chiefest of the sinners. Oh, that this may come clearly forth from us this day out of thy holy word, that there may be for the poor a little of that bread that is necessary. Lord, look thou upon all the afflicted. Be with those that are widows, widowers, or orphans, and those that have needs and cares that are known to thee, and that are not known unto us. Wilt thou supply for the afflicted and the sick, the young girl, the little child. They have been brought to the hospital, that thou may remember them in their place. So much suffering is in this world. Oh, give them help from above. Bless the means that are used for their recovery. And may thou remember them on this thy holy day, when they are not able to gather with us. Strengthen the parents and families also. Also the child that must again be brought into the hospital. Thou hast made it well with him thus far. Wilt thou continue to heal him in his body? And wilt thou look upon all those that are afflicted? Also those who have experienced in the day of yesterday a great earthquake. Lord, thou dost shake the foundations of the earth. under the iniquity and the sin, the transgression of mankind. Oh, that thou may look on all that are in distress, those that have lost their loved ones, those that have lost their occupations or places to live, and those who have been hurt. But wilt thou cause us all to gather in this world to receive an understanding heart? When the callings are so loudly coming unto us and unto our children, set thine house in order, for thou shalt surely die and not live. And when thy wrath that is made evident, as thou dost say in thy word, as shall come in the end times. O, give us to see the footsteps of the Lord, that thou comest again to judge the quick and the dead, that our hearts may be given to receive instruction, and that we may be caused to flee from the city of Sodom, and not to look back again, that we might learn to hasten for the sake of our life, that we may be found in that city of Zoar. Oh, come, Lord. Come and sanctify and bless the means. Wilt thou look upon us and all thy truly sent servants this day? Also, him who hopes to be in this area in this day and in this our midst in this afternoon, help him also. And wilt thou so bless us undeservedly for Jesus' sake. Amen.
While your offering is being received, we'll sing from Psalter 114, stanzas 3, 5, 6, and 7. With grief I think of days gone by, when oft I trod the hallowed way, to Zion, praising God on high, with throngs who kept the holy day, with throngs who kept the holy day. And the last collection today is for the building fund, Psalter 114, 3, 5, 6, and 7.
Thank you.
Congregation, the words of our text for this morning hour can be found in the portion of God's Word which was read to you, John 13, and thereof the last portion of the 30th verse, John 13, verse 30b. These words, "And it was night." So far, the words of our text. Our theme is night. First, Jesus' night of suffering unto hope. Second, Judas's night of hardening unto despair. And third, Peter's night of sorrowing unto salvation. Night, first, Jesus' night of suffering unto hope. Second, Judas's night of hardening unto despair. And third, Peter's night of sorrowing unto salvation. And it was night. From where, congregation, does night come from? That comes from the Lord. Night that was created, children, and the day we read he called day, and the darkness he called night. Elsewhere we read, "I form the light and create darkness." So darkness as well as light, and night as well as day, that is the creation of the Lord. But light and darkness are so very, very different. They are the opposite of one another. When the one is increasing, then the other is decreasing. Light is a great relief from the darkness, even as the day is often a great relief from the night. Darkness, thick darkness, that was the punishment which the Lord had sent unto the Egyptians. And how glad they were when that moment arrived, that the light may shine again. And we read of the psalmist, how he speaks about those who are looking for the light in the darkness. He said that his soul that waiteth for the Lord more than they that watch for the morning, yea, I say, more than they that watch for the morning. Thus, the light that is a great relief from the darkness. Satan works young people in the night. Do you believe this? We read in God's Word that the works of Satan, they are the works of darkness. He is the prince of this world. And it is in the night that this world is becoming alive with evil. The Lord Jesus says, "Everyone that hateth the light, that doeth evil hateth the light, and he comes not to the light." And why not? Because when he comes to the light, and then his deeds are coming open, and his deeds are being reproved by that light. And therefore, Satan, he is working in the night, he is working in the darkness, that his ways may be covered, that they may be hidden. And it was night. And now what are we reading about in this chapter? We read about the works of Satan. And when He had dipped the sop. He gave it to Judas Iscariot, the son of Simon. And after the sop, Satan entered into him. He then, receiving the sop, went immediately out, and it was night. Thus, Satan had entered into him. And when Jesus was in the garden, and then he spoke to the chief priests and the scribes and the elders, and he said to them, I was daily with you in the temple, and ye laid no hands on me. But, he says, now is your hour and the power of darkness. Thus, now had come the time that power of darkness was going to make itself manifest. Where do we find a darker page, a blacker page in the history of the Jewish nation than in this hour, than in this night? In this night wherein the Lord Jesus will be rejected by them as their king. And Satan, he has come in the creation of man. But when did Satan exert more power than in this night, that he may bring the entire human race unto its final destruction? And it was night. When did Satan begin his warfare? He began his warfare immediately after God had created man. And Satan has continued that warfare for 4,000 years. But it is now in this night that that contest is brought to its climax. It is now that fearful night of the awful sufferings of the Lord Jesus Christ. It is now that awful night when the Lord is going to permit that all hell is going to be let loose against that Son of Man. It is now that awful night when He will declare that my soul that is exceeding sorrowful even unto death. Why? Because that it was that night wherein his soul will be made an offering for sin. Oh, it is that awful night when the transgression of his church will be laid upon him, and when he will feel and experience the weight of that burden. So that he will sweat, as it were, great drops of blood falling onto the ground. It is that awful night of the suffering of the Lord Jesus Christ, when his true human nature, and that will shudder in expectation of everything that is coming upon him, even death itself. Oh, my Father, if this cup may not pass from me, thy will be done. Oh, that awful night, when that justice of God that is standing so very, very firm, and that it is not able to pass by the transgression of all that church of God, as so that the Lord Jesus would not have to suffer. Oh, an awful night when he will bear the griefs and the sorrows of his people, even as that lamb that is led dumb unto the slaughter. And it was night. It was night when it seemed like the enemy, he was given full sway over the Lord Jesus Christ. and when he will even be esteemed to be smitten and stricken of God himself. And it was night, becoming so dark because even the sun in the heavens itself that is refusing to shine upon him. An awful night when the countenance of his father, the friendly countenance of his father that is withheld from him. My God, why hast thou forsaken me? And it was night. Oh, who is able, congregation, to fathom the awful depth, the awful evil of sin? Who is able to fathom the greatness of the holiness and the unchangeableness of the justice of God himself? Oh, what a night. What a night has man brought upon himself due to his deep fall? How dark is death. That threefold death. Death over which Satan himself is that overseer. Death in which there is no light. Oh, what a strength. What a strength is necessary for the deliverance of mankind out of this darkness. Do you feel this? That you are not able to deliver yourself out of this darkness, so that you go over this world without hope and without God in the world. And it was night. It was night for whom? It was night for the Son of God himself. Who can fathom how deeply that he has humbled himself? Who can fathom how far that he has descended for the salvation of his church? Paul says that even by grace he may taste death for every man. Oh, for him it became night, for him who is the light of this world and in whom we read is no darkness at all. What an awful mystery. And it was night. Who can fathom, congregation, the light? The light that has come into this world because of this night. The day that is set over against the night, and the light that is set over against the darkness. These, they are opposite the one to the other. They do not exist together. When the one increases, then the other that is decreasing. And when life gives way to death, then it is dark. Then it is dark. So Adam experienced. And so we also, each one of us, do experience. But now when death gives way to light, then it is not dark anymore. Oh, may you ever then see something of that light. May something of that light ever be revealed unto you. What is now the foundation of that light? What is now the foundation of that life? that foundation is lying in him for whom it became night. Even when he had done no sin, oh, had it never become night for him, then it had remained dark upon this world for the entire human race. But what does our text say? It says, and it was night. And it was in that fearful night that Christ has crushed the head of that prince of darkness. Oh, what a great, what a mysterious paradox, that through death he destroyed him that had the power of death, that is the devil. Oh, it is through this night that he is bringing life. It is through this night that he is bringing life into this world. That is the foundation. But are we now, you and I, are we now the recipients of that light? We see that further in our next thoughts. In our second thought, Judas's night of hardening unto despair. And it was night. We may have congregation, much religion, and no light. We may be full of religion and at the same time full of darkness. Is that now so with us? Judas was a professor of the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Judas was even a called disciple of the Lord Jesus. But Judas was missing that true light. Judas was so full of darkness. Beneath everything, there was an inward hypocrisy in Judas. What lay there? Beneath that cover of religion, and there lay the love of money, which we read in God's word is the root of all evil. Judas had the bag. But what did the Lord Jesus say? He says, if thine eye be evil, then thy whole body shall be full of darkness. Thus the religion for Judas that was but a cloak to cover up the evil that did lay inside. How is that now for us? Because Christ says, if now that light that is in thee, or that which ought to be light, if that part be darkness, then how great is that darkness? For 3 years, Judas walked with Christ. Judas walked with the disciples. What a blessed company. For 3 years, very patiently, Judas waited. He waited for what? He waited for the coming of the kingdom of God. He waited for that time when the Lord Jesus would step forward. He waited for that time when the Lord Jesus would permit himself to be enthroned as the king. Because Judas was to receive then a great portion. Oh, then Judas will receive honor. He will receive glory. He will receive power. He will receive all the riches that are in the kingdom of this world. For 3 years, very patiently, Judas waited. And for 3 years, very slowly, the Lord Jesus did break down the expectation of his disciples. Very slowly, step by step. No, not all at once, but as a tender shepherd. Oh, I have many things to say unto you, but ye cannot bear them now. Slowly, then he is speaking of this, of his spiritual kingdom. Destroy this temple, and in 3 days I will raise it up. Alluding time and again, that the disciples in the youth of that spiritual life, that they may not be overwhelmed by this thing. And then finally, then we read that from that time forth began Jesus to show unto his disciples how that he must go unto Jerusalem, how that he must suffer many things of the chief priests and scribes and be killed, and the third day rise again. And we have heard how that that way of suffering was not a way that was according to the flesh of the disciples. No, says Peter, and no, Lord, this shall not be unto thee. And so Peter needs to be rebuked, and Peter needs to be instructed, and the disciples, they need to be led by the Lord Jesus into all his truth. But now for Judas, it is different. Because very slowly, Judas is hearing that that which is lying in the deepest recesses of his heart. Very slowly, Judas is hearing that those desires which are so dear unto him, they are desires that it looks like they are not going to be fulfilled. And finally, he is at supper, and there comes in that woman. Oh, she takes that precious and expensive bottle of ointment, and she anoints the Lord Jesus. Oh, then in the heart of Judas, the covetousness is burning within him. Oh, and then the Lord Jesus, he does not name Judas. Nobody is giving Judas a rebuke in his heart against the covetousness of his heart. Why trouble ye the woman? Because she has wrought a good work in me. And Judas is not named. But congregation, Judas hears it. And Judas knows that that covetousness that is lying in his heart. And Judas feels that the Lord Jesus has indeed pointed him out. Oh, are we ever pointed out? So that we hear also that we are named, although that our own name is not mentioned. And what is now happening? Then we can see that the enmity that is lying in that heart of Judas, that is breaking loose. And there is a revenge that is born in that heart of Judas. What do we read? We read, Satan entered into him, and he went unto the chief priest that he might betray him unto them. Thus that enmity that was always there, but Judas was able for a long time to hold it at bay. Oh, for a long time. And then he put it aside, waiting. And finally, when the circumstances are there, old and that enmity that is not able to be contained by Judas anymore, and he is breaking forth, as it were, into a passion. Indeed, it was night. Oh, how dark a wave did Satan bring over that soul of Judas. Oh, Judas, he just cannot see anything anymore. Judas is now driven. He is now driven by a blind rage. No, he does not just remove himself from the company of the Lord Jesus, from the disciples, to say, well, I cannot walk with you anymore, and that I go to pursue another occupation in this life. No, he doesn't do so. But he is moved with envy. He is moved with rage. Satan, he is entering in. Satan, he is driving him. Then there is nothing about the Lord Jesus Christ that can touch that heart of Judas anymore, so hardened that it becomes. Even the human compassion that is in him, even the humility, even the lowliness of the Lord Jesus, his meekness, no, it is not able to touch even the smallest corner of that heart of Judas. Oh, so very, very gently, the Lord is pointing him out at supper. He that dippeth with me in the dish, he it is that shall betray me. And he warns him, oh, the Son of Man, yes, he goes. He goes the way that it was determined for him, Judas or no Judas, but woe, woe, woe unto that man by whom the Son of Man is betrayed. Good were it for that man had he never been born. But humanly speaking, Judas cannot be stopped anymore. No, he is given over unto Satan. He hardens his heart in the face of all the callings and the warnings and the admonitions, even as Pharaoh time and again did harden his heart. Oh, he dares to ask, Lord, is it I? And the Lord Jesus gives to him as such an honest and a plain answer, thou hast said. But so Judas goes out, so he departs, full of hatred, full of enmity, full of a desire for revenge. And it was night. Oh, that night in the heart of Judas that remains with him. Later we see him coming, and he is bringing the silver hot in his hands. I have betrayed the innocent blood. Oh, the guilt. The guilt that is lying upon the conscience of Judas. Does it lie in our conscience, congregation? Oh, the guilt that is lying there, and it is going to lie there on the conscience of every single man. But concerning that way of true repentance, oh, Judas, he is in darkness. Judas can see nothing and can agree with nothing of the way of that repentance. 3 years, Judas has walked with the Lord Jesus and his disciples. 3 years, Judas has heard the gracious words that proceeded out of his mouth. 3 years, Judas himself was sent forth to preach his name. For 3 years, Judas never witnessed one who had come to the Lord Jesus. He never witnessed one that had come to him in need, sent away. But Judas refuses to draw nigh himself. Oh, for 3 years, Judas has seen the Lord Jesus eating with publicans and with sinners. But we would say, Judas, go now. Oh, do you not feel the guilt in your conscience? Go now. But Judas, he hardens his heart. Congregation, if this is not night, then what is night? If this is not darkness, then what is darkness? Judas is given over unto despair. We read he cast forth the pieces of silver in the temple and went and hanged himself. So this night that has become an eternal night for Judas. An eternal night when he was cast out into an outer darkness. And why? Why? Oh, the Lord Jesus answers that question, why? He says, because light is come into this world, but men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds are evil. Oh, shall it be also congregation with us, as it was with Judas? Oh, need it be so? Was not Peter's night also a night of darkness? But was not the end of this night for Peter so different than that end for Judas? Peter's night of sorrowing unto salvation. But let us sing. First from Psalter 389, 2 through 4, the enemy has sought my soul in dust to tread. To darkness I am brought, forgotten as the dead. My spirit crushed with grief is sad and overborne. My heart finds no relief, but desolate I mourn. 2 through 4 of 389. Simon, Simon, Satan hath desired to have you, that he may sift you as the wheat. But I have prayed for thee, that thy faith fail not. Satan, he was not only busy with the Lord Jesus Christ. Satan was not only busy with Judas, but Satan was also busy with Peter, as he will be busy with his entire church. Also for Peter, it became a very dark night. And why? Because of his sin. Congregation, did it ever become a very dark night for you? Because of your sin. What a precious confession that Peter had made. Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God, that lay in his heart. That was the confession of his heart, that was the belief of his heart, that had not come from him. No, the Lord Jesus, he had confirmed that he had said to him, flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto me, but my Father which is in heaven. But now in the end, it became so very, very different. Just before that he died, I know not the man, cursing, swearing, God punish me if I am not telling the truth. The last words that the Lord Jesus heard from Peter before his death. What will be the last words that we hear from one another before we die? Oh, Satan, he is so busy with Peter. He is so busy to lift him up in his own strength, in his own pride. And he is so busy to cast him down, if it were possible, even unto hell. So busy to bring that church to its eternal perdition. And it was night. Oh, how dark it now became for Peter. Why? Because Peter, he cannot see anything anymore. He cannot see by reason of his own tears. And Peter went out and wept bitterly. Oh, his heart that is stricken with grief. His heart that is stricken with sorrow. Congregation, do we know what it is? For our heart to be stricken with grief and sorrow on account of our sin. Peter's heart is broken. Oh, he has sinned against a God whom he so loved. Have you also sinned against a God whom you so love? He has sinned against his goodness. He has sinned against his grace. Oh, how that he has grieved him. Was it an enemy that reproached him? Then he could have borne it. But was it not his friend? Oh, they did not they take sweet counsel together? And now it became so dark. And why so dark? Because Peter does not see how it is possible that this can be undone. And why? Congregation, he is gone now. All they have taken him, and by wicked hands they have crucified, they have slain him. And now for Peter, that way that has been closed. Oh, he can no longer go. He can no longer beseech him for forgiveness. It is too late. And it was night. Oh, it is not difficult to bring ourselves into darkness. But it is entirely another matter to bring ourselves out of that darkness. And for Judas, that night of darkness that became an eternal night. But it was so different with Peter. Though Peter deserved it from his own side. But what did those Emmaus travelers hear when they came back to Jerusalem and they heard from the rest of the disciples? Oh, they heard, "The Lord is risen indeed and hath appeared unto Peter." Oh, that is a wonder. Because congregation, if the Lord had never appeared unto Peter, oh, people of the Lord, if the Lord had never appeared unto Peter, if the Lord had not gone himself unto Peter, oh, then we could understand how that Peter had not dared to approach unto him. But when that night of the suffering of the Lord is finished, then the Lord is seeking out Peter. Why? That he may deliver him from his night also. That he may deliver him from his darkness. And that he may make it light for Peter. Oh, that he may give an application of that work that he has now accomplished when he has risen from the dead. Oh, and this will now be the people that will magnify and glorify the name of the Lord forever and forever. And there shall be no night there. But congregation, how is that now going to be for us, for you, for me? Because by nature it is night. Do you ever feel that? Dead. Dead in trespasses and in sins. Or is this ever your burden? We read in God's word a darkened understanding. And so dark that it is in us, in a natural way, that we are not able to see, that we're not able to perceive the darkness itself. So dark it is. Paul had much religion. Paul was brought up under the law. Paul was brought up at the feet of Gamaliel. But he had no light. It was dead. Did Paul see it? He did not see it. He thought much of his religion. But one thing he could not see, that was the darkness. Then it was night. And what happened? Then the Lord shone. The Lord shone with a great light unto the Apostle Paul. What happened, Paul says, the law came. The law came, sin revived, and I died. Oh, now there was light. There was light for the first time in his life. And how did it become for him? It became so dark. That is what he saw. He saw as it were nothing. He saw as it were the blackness. Oh, are there those who may know what it is for the word of the Lord to shine upon the darkness of our soul? That for the first time in our life, that we may realize actually how dark it is. That with all my religion, with all my natural knowledge, with all my understanding in this world, I see nothing. Or has it ever become light? Has it ever become light in order that you may see that darkness in which you are traveling over this world? That darkness may become your burden. That darkness may become your sorrow. That is a wonder. That is a wonder. If we may only see how dark that it is. Why? Because if we see how dark that it is, then the light of the Lord that is shining, that is only by the light of the Holy Spirit of the Lord, that a man may see, that he may feel something of the burden of that darkness that is laying over his soul. But is there a people who have brought themselves also into Peter's darkness? Congregation, cannot you see because of your weeping? Can you not see because you have sinned against received grace? Has it become so dark because you have sinned against a good doing God? Do you not see how it is possible to be received again? Is that way also so closed for you that you say, how is the Lord able even to receive such a one as I am? Oh, the Apostle Paul, he says, we have not an high priest who cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmities, but was tempted in all points like as we are, yet without sin. Oh, for him it became night. For him it became so dark. Why? So that for others, that it may become light. I am the light, he says, of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but he shall have the light of life. And Judas would not. Judas would not. And Cain, he said, my sin that is greater than that it can be forgiven. And so they perished. But congregation, it is not true. No, we sing that sometimes, that his grace that is wide as the ocean, and that is why there is a people, even as Peter, that may experience that where sin abounded, grace that did much more abound. Will we not then go upon our knees? Will we then not weep even as with Peter? That we may beseech that the Lord may come, that he may reveal himself unto us. Therefore the Lord has sent his servant still to preach that one name given under heaven among men, whereby we must be saved. Why? To open their eyes, to turn them from darkness unto light, and from Satan unto God. Amen. O Lord of heaven and of earth, O grant us light in the darkness to see, to mourn, to weep bitterly. For thee it did become so dark, and Lord, thou knowest how dark that it is in the life of us also. O show us that darkness, and when that darkness is opened unto us, and may it be even in the midst of us as a congregation, that thou may come with the light of thy truth to show what thou hast done for the chiefest of the sinners, that thou may open unto us that way of salvation, that we may be kept from that eternal and awful despair of a Judas. Keep us from hardening our wretched and our sinful hearts. Bless thy word. Go with us further this day. Remember him who hopes to stand in this place in this afternoon. Open his mouth. Give him freedom. Give him liberty. Bless thy word in the midst of this flock. Remember us where we will be also in the remainder of this day. Help us, Lord, each one of us on thy day. Grant us an undeserved blessing and forgive our many sins. For Jesus' sake, amen. 31, 3, 4, and 7. O thou that ever savest those whose trust on thee is stayed, preserving them from all their foes by thy almighty aid, let me in thy loving kindness see thy wondrous mercy full and free. 3, 4, and 7 of 31. Receive the blessing of the Lord and go in peace. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen. Blessings.